I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to begin on a lighter note before we dig into the scriptures this morning. I was recently picking up some groceries and somebody in the parking lot waved me down. "Father Steve, Father Steve, I hardly recognized you." I said, "Oh, really?" They said, "Yeah, you know, under all those robes, you really look fat." And then they did the rescue. "You're thin." Perception. How people see things. Let me give you an example. When you walked in this morning, at least one or two of you thought he moved the font and the candle. And it's there forever. And I don't like it. Well, first of all, in Advent, it's really important for you to understand that it's a season of reminders. Remembering who we are, whose we are. The baptismal font at the back during Advent is a gentle and loving reminder that through the baptism of Jesus Christ and the baptism of your life, you belong to God. You may be temporary in this world, but God is eternal. And God working through you can do miracles that you can't even imagine. And the candle is a constant reminder that there is a light in this world. And because Jesus Christ came into this world and changed our world and our lives forever, there is a light that burns in us as Christians that sees beyond the temporary devastations of this world. Some have said that we live in scary times, and you're absolutely right, we do. I will never forget 9/11. I was on retreat with a group of priests. The nuns came in the room with large televisions that they set up against the walls. There was a time of immediate and instant prayer. We watched the towers fall, and one of the archdeacons walked into the room and said, "Brothers in Christ, please return to your congregations. Call prayer meetings for this evening. We will be at World War III by tomorrow morning." He lost me at "brothers." And by the time it registered that he said that there was a potential of something horrible happening in the world. Prepare your congregations for the possibility that we would be at World War III. It shook us. And indeed, the churches filled that night. And we prayed. And there was all kinds of intervention that happened by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, I have tremendous confidence in God. Trust in God. And when the situation looks the bleakest, I believe that's when God steps in. What is unfortunate is that it's also that time that we remember that God is active. Too often we forget that God is active in our lives every day. It's not in the extreme that God steps in, but in the ordinary. These are ordinary times. Our world has been here before. That doesn't mean you stop praying, but by all means, we are praying for the constant intervention of God into circumstances, ordinary and extraordinary. But true peace begins within, and each and every one of us. And Advent is about that time of reflection and a deep examine of who we are as believers, that we believe in love and peace and joy and hope, that we have hope for a better tomorrow, and that God will step in, even when we make massive mistakes. Socially and politically and economically, The reality is that God will step in. My guess is some will be delighted how God steps in and some will not. But I believe that God steps in, not only to the extraordinary, but to the ordinary. This time of reflection, preparation, anticipation of Advent is not a normal time. It's not a normal time. It depends on who you listen to. You see, Buddha says it's a time of suffering. Wow, did some heads go up there? Glad you're with me. But Christ says it's a time of conflict. It's clear in the collect prayer today that it's a time of conflict. What does that mean for us? That means that we need new skills, new training, new abilities to deal with the conflict. And some say, but it's CNN and Fox Network. No, it's in our homes. It's deciding where Christmas Day is going to be. It's deciding which member of the family is welcome and which one's not. It's in deciding who you're going to get a gift for and who you choose not to. Who gets a card? Who gets a phone call? Who gets an email? Who gets the shaft? And it starts there. And if we can make better decisions with better skills and a better awareness of God's presence in our lives, we can turn this season of preparation and anticipation and expectation on its head. The thing is, we can't put it off. And it's what we do best, you know. You and I, we put it off. If I have the choice between cleaning the house and watching a movie, you know I'm going to the movie. If I have a choice between doing the laundry or taking the dog out, one has less exercise than the other. We don't take care of our bodies the way we need to this time of year. We eat too much of the stuff we should not. We lack self-care. In body, mind, and spirit, we're rushing from one thing to the next, and I'm quite tired of getting to my rocking chair on December 26th and saying, "What happened?" I'll never forget the guy on December 25th. Of course, you know, we've got to have a service on December 25th. And he got to the back door and shook my hand and said, "Thank God that whole thing's over." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Christmas." I'm speaking to you today to ensure that you don't go there. That you receive a gentle and loving reminder today to enjoy every single precious moment of the season. That may mean you do less than everything everybody wants you to do. It actually may mean you make your own decisions. And when those decisions are soaked in prayer, when those decisions are of God, you don't need to feel guilt and shame that you didn't get everywhere all the time for everyone else. Wouldn't it be amazing if you were actually healthy on Christmas? Physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually healthy? Here's the difficulty. As you know from the gospel reading today, the world is uncertain, unclear. We're not exactly sure what's coming. It was true 2,000 years ago, and it's true today. But if you know who you are, and you know whose you are, and that you have a faith in a God that came to this world through Jesus Christ and brought peace and hope and love and joy, if you believe that, then you are able to hold onto a hope for a better tomorrow through God. Here's where we go wrong. We put the future of our world in the hands and consciousness of women and men. They're just like you. They're just like me. We need to pray that God will intervene in their human thoughts, in their human decisions, and that there will be a better tomorrow that comes out of that Holy Spirit-driven intervention. In the midst of our human conflict, we need to be able to step back and do the hardest thing the human body ever has to do. You see, if I say it, some people get offended. So if I actually said, shut up and listen, they'd be upset. But we need to be quiet. We need to listen. There's a reason you got one of these and two of these. We need to listen to each other. And then instead of reacting, we need to step back and we need to take the time it takes to really respond in love. Because we never know what the other is going through. We never know what has brought them to the conversation that has created the conflict. And at this time of year, horrible rifts can occur in families and friends. And it's not worth it. Fight the battles that you're prepared to die for. And only those. Make choices for the health of family and friends and fellowship. As we begin this season of Advent together, it's absolutely important to remember what is certain and what is uncertain. What is uncertain is the world around us. What is certain is the decisions that we can make to better the world around us. And what is certain is that God is functioning within us when we invite Him to make that difference. I'll never forget the Christmas that I asked for a magic table. This is a special thing, you know, when you're 12. It had a silver base and a large black velvet top and gold on all sides. It was fancy. And if you put something on the table, you could walk away like this. And when you turn back, it vanished. And there was three spots on the table where it vanished. There was a slight clunk under the table when it vanished. And I was so excited. Because for me, at that stage of my life, what I got at Christmas, the stuff of Christmas, the shopping of Christmas, the purchasing of Christmas, the giving of stuff at Christmas was so important that this table was going to change my life. And 4 weeks before Christmas, I found it in my father's office closet. And I was devastated. The top of it was red, not black. And I grieved uncompromisingly for 4 weeks. How could Christmas be so destroyed by what I got that was wrong? Talk about wrong, I wasn't yet to see the sweater my grandmother made me. What I didn't know is that there was a red light, a lamp, that sat on my dad's desk. And that light, in the midst of the night, that shone the light into the closet, changed the shadow on the top of the table, and so it projected a red color instead of black. What horrible things do we put ourselves through when we fear that the things of Christmas are the most important things? What angst do we put ourselves through in getting the perfect gift for the other person? What anxiety do we put ourselves in going to the mall where nobody can tell we're Christian by our behavior? Make a change. Everywhere you go, everywhere you choose to be, everyone you're with, everyone you choose to be with, may they experience you as the gift this Christmas. And when they experience you as the gift, and they know whose you are, they will be able to experience Christ this Christmas through you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.